Welcome to Everything Unscripted Unlimited. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer, mine and Dougie's Nerd Show. Welcome, everybody. It's going to be a fun time. I'm here with my co-host, my brother, Doug.
Yo, I am excited. I am giddy. I am ready.
We got a lot of fun stuff to do today. Our character spotlight, our comic spotlight, toy spotlight,
cartoons.
One? Cartoon spotlight. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about here. We got a lot of news to get into. Before we do anything, though, why don't we plug our other shit? How about that?
Might as well. All right, so we'll start with the other thing we'll start with Boxman and Smart Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday, Friday night, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. They can be found on all your major podcast platforms. Usually around 10:15, 10:20 is Eastern time, right after wrestling's over on Wednesdays and Fridays. And Boxman also, you know, Boxman does quite a bunch of stuff with us, too.
Yeah, great guy.
We've got a great working relationship with the dudes. They're good people. We don't know if they're good people or not because they hang out with us.
Yeah, the jury's out, but Boxman's a great guy.
So tonight at 7 p.m., well, it's not, I don't even think it's going to be live. I think it's going to be recorded and then released.
Yes.
Because we're actually doing the live show right now.
But coming out tonight.
So it's being recorded tonight and should be out by Monday is the UFC retrospective. UFC Fight Night, TJ Dillashaw
yes.
versus Dominic Cruz. I am so glad I got that first name right. Mr. Ronda Rousey is fighting on this card.
Yes, Travis Brown and Matt Mitrione. Very brutal fight. I can't wait to talk about all this tonight.
So it's going to be fun. That's going to be tonight. Well, we're recording around 7 o'clock, so it should be released either tomorrow or Monday. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern time, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted, which is where you can find all of our fine programs. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern time, you will be the Scaredy Cats, Daniel and Mindy. If you figured out what you're doing yet.
Well, it's figured out. I just don't remember. But we do have a show planned. Mindy told me it last week. We got to touch base. I got to watch it tonight, whatever it is. But yeah, we do have a plan. We are doing a show tomorrow. We do have a plan. And it's going to be awesome.
Always is. Always is.
Remember
yeah.
this.
We're getting old, folks.
Yeah, we get busy.
Also, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, Friday nights, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Will be the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Last night we did Judgment Day 2000. It was a fun show.
Yes.
Next weekend will be, or next Friday night show will be Fantasy Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we got other shows, you know, figured out for the next few weeks. You know, I plugged them last night, but, you know, June 4th we got the second part of the New Generation roster tier list. June 11th will be picked by whoever wins our fantasy wrestling competition. June 18th will be the Great American Bash 1996, the WCW one.
And what's the plan for Warfare? Like, what tournament are we doing?
Oh, the Fantasy Warfare tournament we are doing is the Cruiserweight title tournament.
Oh, sweet.
I have to find the bracket. it's written in, see, I have like 20 notebooks.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to remember which one. The only thing I remember about the notebook I wrote it in is that the front of the book is yellow. So if I find a yellow book, we might be good. But yeah, so lots of fun stuff coming up. Obviously, you can listen to this now, Everything Unscripted Unlimited. It'll be on Saturdays. Times may vary depending on a work schedule. We're hoping to do like late morning, but we'll see. I think we'll talk about what we're going to do. So it's usually going to be like a comic spotlight, toy spotlight, character spotlight, cartoon spotlight. So three C's and a T.
we got a lot of fun stuff planned. Yeah. You ready to get into it?
Yeah, why not?
All right. We'll start with a little bit of news. Because there's a bunch of news to get into. Mainly, and I just showed you this not too long ago, But the Batman movie released a couple set photos, the one with Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
And we got to look at Paul Dano's Riddler. It's getting a lot of outrage, but also a mixed reception because they kind of made him look like the Zodiac Killer, but that's not really what the Riddler traditionally looks like. What's your take on it, though?
Okay, so from what I remember, like, the Riddler is supposed to look, you know, he's supposed to have the outfit on, you know, yeah, with the question marks and the top hat and, like, you know, red hair or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, this guy, he looks like he's, you know, running a gas chamber.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, this is not the Riddler character. I mean, I get it, they're trying to do something different.
Yeah.
And sometimes different can be good, but, like, in certain aspects, it's just like, don't fuck with it.
Yeah.
Like, leave it alone.
I mean, I don't know if in 2021, if the green top hat, the bombacious outfit would really work, though. Like, the Riddler is kind of, like, he's a great psychological character, but maybe he needs a revamp like this a little bit, too. I don't know about this, like, specific look, but it would be a little wacky just to see, because the Riddler's, like, that's very, like, 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with it getting updated. I just don't know if this is the way to go. But we'll see when the movie comes out. Other big news items. I'm going to break this one because you and me, we were big fans of the Injustice video game.
Yeah.
They're making an animated movie based on it.
Holy shit.
That's going to be DC's next animated. And if you don't know the story to Injustice, it's basically Joker sets everything awry by convincing Superman to kill Lois Lane. And then Superman becomes his evil force and Batman's going to get a special recon group to take him down.
Yeah, but in the Justice League movie, well, in the Snyder Cut, wasn't, like, Joker working with Batman, well, not working with Batman, but he was kind of there?
Yeah, he was working with him at the end, but that's, like, a different scenario. But it does get set off by Lois's death.
Right.
In a similar fashion. But it should be fun. There's a lot of...
I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it.
Another big one on the DC side of things is Batman and the Cape Crusader series. It's coming out. J.J. Abrams is actually producing it.
Okay.
And it's kind of going to be like a follow-up to Batman the Animated Series when you were a kid.
I'm down. Batman the Animated Series was my shit. Well, a lot of cartoons were my shit back then because, you know, kids like to watch cartoons. It was kind of like an escape for them.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff was kind of cool, you know, because I like the superhero cartoons. Like, I like Batman, you know, X-Men, the animated series. I like, you know, Justice League.
Yeah.
So, like, I like a lot of it. So this would be kind of cool. I actually can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
Thank God we have HBO Max.
Now, on the Marvel side of things, because I do want to break a Marvel piece of news. But this piece of business, I don't know if you got along to see in the trailer for Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
You may have shown it to me.
Yeah.
May have played it, and I may have been listening in the background.
Yeah. But basically, what's his name is back? Venom, Eddie Brock.
Played by Tom Hardy again?
There you go, Tom Hardy. His name escaped me. And he's facing the famous villain, Carnage, who's known as Cletus Cassidy, is like a serial killer. He's one of the most brutal villains, and it's played by Woody Harrelson.
That makes a lot of sense.
And it's not going to be in, like, the Marvel MCU thing. It's like Sony's, like, Spider-Verse without Spider-Man. It's weird. But it could be very interesting. They also got Morbius coming out with Jared Leto. That's like a vampire character in the same universe.
Jeez.
But, yeah, the trailer just dropped for that, and it could be really good. Now, we were talking about animated series. I think that's a good way to transition into our first spotlight. This is a big one. The cartoon spotlight. James Bond Jr. Aired in 1991. You're a big fan of this show, Doug.
I was a huge fan of it when I was a kid because it came out in 1991. I think I was five. And it would be on, like, in the morning before I would go to school. In the summer times, it would just be on in the morning.
And, like, basically what it is James Bond Jr., which, by the way, ran for 65, was, like, only one season, but it was, like, 65 episodes. But what a lot of people, like, don't realize, or they might, because I don't know if they still do it to this day or not, but when you're developing a cartoon, especially, like, if it's going to be, like, in a daily block, like, Monday through Friday,
yeah,
you have to have new episodes every day. You can't just run the same episode Monday through Friday and then the next week a new episode comes out. So, like, if a show has, like, that time slot, it has to be, like, a different episode. So, like, that's why, like, they did 65 episodes and then, like, you know, you're good for, like, you know, 65 days or whatever. And then you just, you know, run through the rotation again.
Yeah.
So, but this basically, James Bond Jr., he is the nephew of 007. This is going to accuse a lot of, not accuse, but confuse a lot of people, be like, well, why is he James Bond Jr.? I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know why they call him Junior or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, he's the nephew of 007. He attends Warfield Academy, which is a college in London or somewhere in England or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but a lot of the, like, a few of the people that attend the college with him, like his college roommate, IQ, is actually the grandson of one of 007's associates. His other buddy, Gordo, is related to another one of 007's associates. The gym teacher, Mr. Mitchell, works for 007.
Yeah. There's a lot of ties to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of ties to it, and there's a lot of guys that, or there's, you know, so JB, you know, JB Jr. has, you know, his own crew, which is him, IQ, Gordo, Tracy Milbanks, whose father actually is the headmaster for Warfield,
yeah,
or Warfield Academy. Then you have Phoebe, this who actually is voiced by the same person that voiced Verma in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Susan Shiloh?
Yes. Well, I'm assuming it's the same person because they sound an awful lot alike. So, but this that's not the only tie-in for the Ninja Turtles cartoon with James Bond Jr., is that it was also Fred Wolf, who was involved with the Ninja Turtles, was also involved with this. So there's the tie-in there. And then Gordo, you know, kind of being like the surfer character, you know, dude and bro and all that.
Yeah.
Very, you know, Michelangelo-like.
Yeah, there was definitely Ninja Turtle vibes in this show.
Exactly. And basically, like, you have your Bond villains coming in. You know, Goldfinger, Jaws, Dr. No, I think, you know, a few others. But basically, James Bond Jr., he's fighting off Scum, which was Saboteurs and Criminals United in Mayhem.
It's a good play on words.
Yeah. So, but, you know, he goes to, like, different places. And, you know, there are technically different Bond girls in every episode. But they don't have, but they have, like, the clever, like, play-on names, but they don't go by, like, Pussy Galore or anything like that. Because, you know, this is meant for kids.
Yeah.
But the gadgets in this cartoon actually supersede a lot of the gadgets that you saw in the old Bond films. Because, you know, technology was improving as years went on.
Yeah.
So... but, you know, I watched a few episodes this past week to just kind of get myself reacclimated with it. And I forgot how much I really like this show. But there's, like, the one scene in the one episode. It was the second episode. And basically, Goldfinger captures this one girl who's a classmate of James's.
And so James and IQ and Tracy go to Peru, to the quote-unquote lost city of El Dorado.
Yeah.
Or El Dorado, which is the lost city of Peru or whatever. And anyway, James is not necessarily, you know, above being captured himself. So him and this other girl, which I can't remember her name, they were both kind of captured, and they were going to do, you know, Goldfinger was going to kind of melt them, and he starts walking away. And Bond goes, "Goldfinger, wait." And Goldfinger turns around and goes, "I don't think so." And he just kind of just walks away. And I was just like, that's just rude. But also, too, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Trevor Noseworthy the Fourth.
Yeah, I was going to bring him up because I found him, I mean, he's that arrogant, douchey, like, snitch type guy, like the kid from Recess.
Yeah.
Like, he's that character that's always there. He's not, like, the villain, but he's supposed to be a pain in Bond's ass.
Right. And every episode, though, Bond, you know, usually outsmarts him. So, like, he's trying to get Bond expelled from Warfield, but you also have to take into consideration the guy's a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And the headmaster, you know, Mr. Milbanks, Tracy's father, like, he doesn't put up with anything. He's hard, but he's fair.
Yes.
And
he's not, like, crooked.
No, not crooked at all. But, like, you know, when James gets in trouble, you know, he, you know, punishes James. He never takes Noseworthy seriously.
How can you with a name like that?
Yeah. But, yeah, no, this is a – it was a fun cartoon for me, you know, back in the day. All right, so what's actually funny, though, too, is that, you know, back in the day, I got into some trouble, right? I think like second or third grade. I got into some trouble. I got into a fight.
Ooh.
Or no, sorry, this is actually first grade. I got into a fight.
Badass.
And this kid was picking on me and was like pushing me and, you know, hit me a couple times. Well, I hit him back. Teacher didn't see him hit me. Teacher saw me hit him. And I said, well, he hit me first. None of the kids wanted to vouch for me. So principal called my mom, or principal called our mom. Mom called dad. Dad comes home. I got barred from watching wrestling, G.I. Joe, American Gladiators, Ninja Turtles, Real Ghostbusters, and James Bond Jr. Like, dad said that I couldn't watch that. But, like, he kind of reneged on it because mom's just like, you're taking away everything he watches. What do you want him to do, just sit in a room and play with himself? Like,
we know how that turned out.
Well, yeah. So, like, James Bond Jr. and Real Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles and eventually American Gladiator all kind of got reinstated. But, yeah, like, and I'm just like, when I get told, it's like, all right, you're not going to allow to watch this, this, and I'm like, how is my violent behavior, which was justified, by the way, I got hit first.
Yeah.
How is the violent behavior caused by James Bond Jr.? Like, but I'm like, all right, you know, I'm sorry, you know, whatever. But then, you know, all that stuff got reinstated. And plus, you know, every time we went to Grandma and Grandpa's house, I watched whatever I wanted to anyway.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because they let me do whatever I want, and it also helped that if my dad was an idiot. So, this show was a really good show. I'm glad I got to watch some of the episodes, but also too, we got to talk about some of the merchandise. Okay. They got a board game out of it, which apparently everything has gotten a board game at some point.
Yeah. We're on a board game kick lately.
Yeah, definitely. Game nights are coming back to this house.
They had a toy line with your boys Hasbro.
Yeah. They had a toy line with Hasbro. So they had the action figures, the die cast vehicles. I think I'm pretty sure when I was little, I had a James Bond Jr. action figure.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Sweet.
I'm pretty sure it's missing now, but I'm pretty sure I had it.
Now, usually people, like, they did bring, like, Goldfinger in, right?
Yeah.
And they brought in Dr. No. But they used a lot of, like, original type villains or, like, some James Bond villains that were altered or, like, very different from their movie counterparts.
Yeah, I think Jaws was one of them.
Yeah. You think that was the right decision or?
Yeah, because I think they were also trying to make this different, like, a more family-friendly version of the 007 series. Because, like, if you know, well, obviously, because it's a cartoon, even though, you know, cartoons would, you know, get out of hand years later. With the cartoon, like, James never, you know, because James Bond Sr. in the movies, you know, he got it on. Okay? With a lot of the girls. Bond Jr. never really did any of that.
He's supposed to be a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in college,
so, but, you know, it was never really, I mean, he kind of had, like, crushes or whatever, like, him and Tracy, who, by the way, was actually, like, the character is actually named after James Bond's late wife.
Tracy Bond.
But, like, they kind of have, like, a kind of relationship going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Phoebe, who is Tracy's best friend, she is in love with Bond Jr.
But he's not.
No, like those feelings are never reciprocated. kind of sad to see, to be honest.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I like Tracy. But, you know, either, you know, get it on with Tracy or move on to the girl that will have you.
Absolutely.
Not a bad option to have in the back pocket.
All right, we're going to move on. Great show. Check out James Bond Jr. A lot of the episodes are on YouTube, right, Doug?
Yeah, all 65 of them are actually on YouTube. About 50 of them are actually, like, in good quality.
So definitely check out James Bond Jr. Is there anything else you wanted to add about them? I mean, we can always come back at some point.
Yeah, I am pretty sure, like, we will do a toy spotlight. We will do a toy spotlight at some point, I'm pretty sure, on them.
Yeah.
Also, got to bring up, they had a comic book series on them.
Yeah, Marvel did something with them.
Yeah. So that's another thing. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're going to be getting back to him in the future. I mean, it might be 500 episodes from now, but we'll get back to him in the future.
He's an interesting character. It's funny because I don't know if they ever really mentioned him in the movies, but it was a successful, mildly successful show. And, I mean, you said it had the toy line, it had everything. So the character did well.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, if it's marketable, see, all cartoons were, like, marketable at some point.
Yeah.
And you could get stuff out of it. Like, even show cartoons that did not last, like, maybe 20 or 30 episodes. Cartoon is actually, like, a prime example of that. You only got, like, 26 episodes out of it. The show sucked. But
yeah.
Yet they got a lot of action figures out of it. We'll talk about that on another.
Exactly.
We'll talk about that in another time.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
With Jim Belushi.
Yeah. Which is weird that he's voicing a cartoon.
Yeah, but the couple episodes I was watching with you, I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Check out James Bond Jr. A couple more news items. HBO Max set an August premiere for Titans Season 3. I got you into Titans a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you think? Excited?
It's definitely going to be good. I mean, a lot of these DC – well, first of all, I'm more of a DC guy than I am a Marvel guy. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I like Marvel. I like Captain America.
Yeah.
But to me, DC is just that much better.
I agree, but I do love Marvel as well.
Yeah.
We got a great A lot of great characters.
Well, and the thing is that, like, you can't really, I mean, and, you know, most nerds will say this, I mean, as long as their moms don't shut off their internet, but they'll basically, they'll, you know, say, well, you have to, you know, you don't necessarily pick a, because most nerds usually don't, like, pick a side, like, they'll watch, like, both, or, I mean, they'll say which one is better than the other, but they're like, if you don't watch all superhero movies, you're not a true nerd.
I mean, it's okay. I feel like a lot of them pick sides too, though. You're either a DC or a Marvel guy. But I mean, it's perfectly acceptable.
I mean, I'm a DC guy, but I'll watch the Marvel stuff.
Yeah, I enjoy a lot of Marvel stuff. There's just something about DC that I enjoy. But I mean, any superhero, I even like Spawn and other stuff, like Bloodshot, I watched not too long ago. And I mean, anything comic book related is usually pretty good. Should I let Eric in?
Yeah, why not? Eric.
What's up,
hello?
Eric?
What up? What up?
What's up, dog? You on break?
Yeah.
Are you hiding in a corner somewhere?
I'm back in cafe.
Oh. Well, that is a little corner somewhere.
Yeah. You know the corner.
Yeah, I do. I know plenty of corners, my friend.
All right.
So what do you got?
Now we're,
what else you got?
What's up?
Oh, never mind.
I'm getting an echo from your side. Oh, no, never
you
mind.
Are?
No, it's good.
Well, I think somebody just stopped talking to him.
Okay. Sounded like me. All right, let's move. Our next spotlight, we're going to be doing our character spotlight. We're going to be talking about a good, gracious young lady, Wonder Woman.
The future Mrs. Nahama, whether she knows it or not.
She's like 6,000 years old. I like older women. She's a cougar. A Diana Prince from Themyscira.
At least she's good looking.
Yeah. And great with a whip. Her lasso. But, I mean,
she can keep her men in line.
Yes. This character, I mean, this is probably a good thing to start with our character spotlight, because as far as the female, like, representation, I mean, she's, like, a feminist icon, not only, but also, like, one of the most, like, well-known female characters of all time. Whether you talk about your cartoon, the animated series, or the movies, or even the TV show with Linda Carter back in the day.
I don't think Wonder Woman ever got her own animated series. I know she was part of, like, the Justice League series and all that.
Yeah. I don't know if she had her own, but she was part of the Super Friends. She was part of the Justice League stuff. She's had her own animated movie. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there was ever, like, a Wonder Woman the animated series, which is kind of stupid if there wasn't one.
Yeah. But
she's
think
a,
there was.
There should have been. I mean, there still could be. But she is one of the greatest, not only superheroes, but characters of all time.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is that, like, her movies, like, the two, like, Wonder Woman movies, and I know, you know, we talked to somebody several weeks ago that wasn't a fan of Wonder Woman 1984.
Ooh.
Your buddy Tyler's cohort.
Yeah. Idiot.
Well, I mean, to each their own. I personally enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
Because I think Diana is badass. And I think Gal Gadot has done a real good job as Wonder Woman.
Yeah. No, she has. I think she's knocked it out of the park. I mean, I will agree with him on that point that out of the three movies with Gal Gadot, I think that 1984 was probably the weakest. Because the origin story was done so well.
Right.
And the first Wonder Woman is one of my favorite superhero movies. I thought it was great. And she was amazing in the Snyder Cut.
She was amazing in the Snyder Cut. I mean, and she was also part of Batman versus Superman.
True. And she was good in that movie, too, when she's like, when Batman's like, or Superman's like, she with you? He's like, I thought she was with you. And she shows up in the middle and they all look badass.
Yeah.
Standing next to each other. There's just something about, and when you're talking about power, too, she's one of the most powerful superheroes of all. She can go toe-to-toe with Superman if she wanted to.
Right, which, you know, in the Injustice cartoon, she may.
Yeah.
Unless she sides with him.
She said,
like, who actually sides with who in this thing?
You more the demigods and metahumans and the actual, like, superheroes side with Superman. So I think she does side with him for a while. But a lot of the, like, Batman and Robin and Green Lantern helps Batman and stuff and Flash.
Well, I was in the Injustice video game. Robin actually turned on Batman.
Yeah. That was the
little
second
bastard.
One. Though. Yeah.
Shit.
Exactly. But, I mean, that's going to be a great show. It's going to be that's going to have to be rated R. Because, I mean, there's one scene where Superman literally flies through Joker's body, like, the back and comes out through his stomach. And you see the blood and fucking pour out of him, and he's dead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great – it's the comic series that wrote on it was really good. But it actually all started with the video game. But it's badass. I'm excited to see the show. But Wonder Woman is just – I mean – Gal Gadot, I think, has really knocked it out of the park. And Linda Carter did a great job for what she had back in the day. So.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing, too, is that, like, you know, back in, like, DC has really caught on, like, now, especially, like, over the last, like, several years.
Yeah.
But DC was really, DC was actually more popular than Marvel back in the day.
Yeah.
They started,
like, 20, 30 years before them.
Yeah, like DC, like you were getting DC stuff in the 70s and all, like 60s and 70s. Marvel, like nobody really gave a shit.
Marvel didn't really do anything. I mean, they had the Spider-Man.
I mean, they had Spider-Man.
Yes.
That was it.
But before the MCU and Iron Man and all that, they really weren't as popular. I mean,
right.
Not nearly as big as they are now.
Right. And that's like, that's the thing though, is that DC were the kings for a long time. And now, you know, Marvel took over.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of like a balanced scale to where, like, I mean, and that's like a whole nother, like, war.
That's a whole episode.
That's a whole episode. Like, we would have to have, like, Team DC versus Team Marvel. Bunch of angry ass.
Oh, boy.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. It would be, well, we'd have to make sure we're all, like, in different rooms because we're all in the same room.
I might fight.
We're all going to be paying Sharon for damages.
That's going to be a special episode.
For what?
Marvel and DC.
I like them both. But I remember as a kid being homesick in school watching Aquaman cartoons on TV.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hi, Sharon.
Eric.
Because Aquaman was that, and again, Wonder Woman spotlight, but Aquaman is another one. He was more popular back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah, but they made him very corny, like with the super friends and stuff.
Yeah,
that's kind of what made him a joke, though.
Yeah, but now, like, Jason Momoa is no joke.
No, he's a badass. We can't do a Wonder Woman spotlight without at least talking about that final scene in the Snyder Cut.
Sorry to interrupt. I have to go.
Eric, it was lovely having
you. I'll talk to you guys tonight.
We'll see you
tonight, Eric. See ya.
Later.
All right. But yeah, we got to talk about the scene with Stephen Wolf. You know what I'm talking about, Doug. When at the end when they defeat
when she chopped off the head.
Yeah.
It took me a minute. I'm a little slow on the update.
It's okay. Aquaman got him with the trident, lifted him up, kind of flew him in the air, and then she comes in, and it looks like she misses it first almost. The way it's shot. But she, like, so badass. And Gal Gadot, like, I was on one knee the whole time ready to marry this woman. She was, oh, my God, was I done. I had to put a pillow over my head. But she chops his head off, and then it flies through the portal, and Darkseid steps on his head. That's got to be one of the most badass demises of a supervillain in any movie.
I guess now this show isn't intended for kids anymore.
It's been rated R. No, this is the nerd show for the, for us. Yeah, for the 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that scene was awesome. She is badass. She is actually, like, I would, you know, if she were around back when, you know, when I was in school, I would have hired her to take care of all the bullies that picked on me. Yeah, I mean, she's just so, I mean, in all of her movies,
she's just a kick-ass broad. That's all.
Well,
not even broad. She's a woman.
Oh, God, if you say broad and World War III.
She's just kick-ass.
She's a kick-ass, powerful woman.
And Gal Gadot portrays her so beautifully.
Yeah. And right. She embodies women empowerment.
Yes.
Okay,
to its finest.
And there's never a moment where her Batman and Superman are standing all together where she looks like she doesn't belong.
Right.
Like, it's always like, yeah, she's just as powerful as these other two guys.
Yep, and she needs to be right there.
Yeah. Like, that's the Trinity right there. That's the
and what's funny is that, like, I personally think she's a better hero than Superman. Yeah. I'm not a Superman guy.
No.
Okay? I'm more on, like, Team Batman.
I know you are. I mean, I love Superman. I guess.
But I really do. I really like her.
Yeah, I mean, she's the Amazon princess.
I think every girl wants to be one.
At some point, yeah. She's the one that a lot of girls look up to.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as villains, she has really kind of good ones. Ares is literally a mythical god. She's got Dr. Psycho, which the Harley Quinn.
Oh my God, that Harley Quinn. The Harley Quinn show, which we do need to finish that, and they did get picked up for a third season.
Yeah,
right?
They're doing a third.
Okay.
But yeah, just comics, cartoons, movies, whatever. She's just been the same powerful woman. I like her best. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with the third movie. There's like this Giganta. I don't know if you heard of her. She's like 50 foot tall.
She was Psycho's wife in the...
Yes. Yeah, they've been together a few times. I think she also showed up in Super Friends a few times.
I think so, too.
There's a lot of stuff you can do for the third movie, and hopefully they keep Gal Gadot around. And if they do the Snyderverse or whatever, DC Universe, I think she's the one to go with.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't see a recast Wonder Woman anytime soon. I mean,
you can recast. Obviously, they would recast Batman.
Yeah, he almost has to be recast. I mean, he already is recasted.
Yeah. You could recast Batman. I'm pretty sure you can get a different Superman.
Yeah, and they are doing that with the new Superman that's going to be African-American. Which means we're going to break.
Right. But keep him the same, keep Barry the same, keep Aquaman the same, and even Cyborg, too.
Yeah, I like Cyborg. Yeah, keep all those guys the same because they're all awesome.
But Ryan Reynolds does not need to be Green.
No, he does not need to.
For everything, and here's the thing, Ryan Reynolds is a really good actor.
Yeah,
I love Ryan Reynolds. I like a lot of the stuff he's been in. But it's hard for him to ruin a movie. Or to ruin a character.
Yeah, but he does.
Yeah.
It's not really all his fault. There's a lot of things, especially when your main villain looks like a nutsack, but there's a lot of things going against that movie, more than Ryan Reynolds. You want to talk about some toys, Ducky?
Yes, I do.
All right, WWF Bendems. Go.
Yeah, the Just Toy Bendem line. Which actually, so they came out in 1994, which actually they were the original, or not the original, but they replaced the Hasbro line. Because when WWF canceled that, well, actually they came out, like, they were kind of around, like, the same time or whatever. And, but then when WWF canceled the Hasbro line, for like a year and a half, the only toys that were out there, well, besides you could still buy Hasbro's like at the store or whatever because they still had them out because they had to get rid of them.
Yeah.
You could, like, Just Toy Bendems were the only WWF toys like out there, the only WWF figures out there for the longest time. And they actually, they lasted 7 years. They were around until 2001. And I have plenty of them. And we actually had plenty of them, you know, growing up, too.
Right.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you still actually have quite a few of them.
Yeah, I still got some Bendems. I know I got an Xbox still.
Which was actually, by the way, was your first.
Oh.
Xbox
took my Bendem virginity.
Your wrestling figure virginity, yeah.
Dirty bastard.
I'm sure you're not the only one he took that from. Or the other. Anyway, but so like there was a, I think there was like 13 series, or like either 11 or 13, and usually it was like four. Sometimes if it was a special occasion, like five maybe figures to a series. The first series was obviously was Diesel, or no, Diesel was like the first or second. I have a bunch of the figures upstairs. I just didn't feel like grabbing them. But like you know, you had a Diesel who was big at the time, Bret Hart, Razor Ramon, Lex Luger, who was still with the company at the time. Doink the Clown, which is actually, like, really hard to try to find.
Yeah.
And...
Did you have Doink?
No. I'm trying to find him, and when I go on the toy hunt next weekend, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
However, if it's marked for, like, you know, if it's marked more than $20, I ain't fucking bothered. Which actually, it's weird because, you know, back like 10 years ago, there really was no value to these things. You know, you could buy, you could still buy them for like $5-6, but they're upping in value. I mean, mainly because they're now like close to being, you know, 30 years old. And they were easy because like, you know, you could, you know, obviously, you know, you could bend them and all that. Like they really didn't have like the special actions or whatever, but they were easy, like little kids, you know, like yourself, like, you know, like to play with that stuff. And, like, you couldn't really choke on them or whatever. Yeah, your first one was Xbox. I know your second Bendem figure was actually Jeff Jarrett.
But it was kind of cool because they're not like the jet. I mean, Hasbro's got very limited movement.
Yeah,
but
I mean, you had the one action.
For what they were. Once Jax got into it and then Mattel later, it's like all purpose. I can do whatever.
Yeah.
But the Bendems, you can do some weird, like as a kid, it's fun to play with those, you know?
Yeah. I like having them and I like having the ring. And like what was actually really cool about the Bendems ring is there was a compartment underneath you could actually put them in. So like instead of like if you were going somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, having the Bendems in a bag and then, yeah, having the ring, you could just put the Bendems in the ring. Now, because it was a smaller ring, you could only fit, like, five or six in there, which was a pain in the ass because I had, like, 10 or 12 of them. Unfortunately, I'm not lying.
No, I know you're not.
So, like, trying to put all of them in there. And by the way, that compartment did not work for Hasbro. I had that smaller ring, but it was convenient, especially like if we needed to, you know, if we were going somewhere and having to put them in there, and another cool thing about the ring too is that the ring actually came with a Paul Bearer figure.
Oh, that's sweet.
Would you? I don't know if you still have it or not, but it's,
yeah. So.
Yeah, but a lot of these figures, and again, I've really been getting into buying them again lately. Although, like some of the prices on some of these, like the Wrestling Universe in Queens, New York, and there's another one in Comac.
Yeah.
There's a guy there that like he'll come on Facebook every week. He'll be like, "Hey, who wants what?" And I asked him about a month ago. I said, "Hey, you know, these are the Bendems that I want." And I listed Cactus Jack, British Bulldog, Crush, and the Patriot.
Yes.
He goes, "Yeah, I have all four. We have all four of them here." "Okay, how much?" And he goes, "The Crush, Cactus, and Bulldog, $30 a piece, which is just like, all right, well, that's kind of out there. I got them anyway. But the Patriot one, and again, Del Wilkes is not in the WWF very long.
No.
He was 4 months, and then that was it.
Yeah.
At the Wrestling Universe, and I'm not knocking these folks, all right, because I would actually like to go there someday.
Yeah.
At Patriot Bendham, they have priced at $75.
Jesus Christ.
And I told them, I said, well, I'm going to pass on the Patriot. Because I even said to him, I said, dude, these things aren't worth $75 yet. I mean, they're getting there. Yeah, but yeah, I got a, I mean, who knows? That's probably going to be like, I'm hoping to end up with a few more Bendhams at after the toy hunt next week, but they were a really cool line. You had figures from, like, obviously, like I said, Diesel, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, Yoko, Bulldog, Doink, Luger. Mabel had one,
yeah,
which I do have. It's upstairs. The thing is, I have them spread out in, like, different boxes upstairs. Like, I was going to actually look for them and bring them down here so, like, we could really talk about it. But then it's just, like, the one box is actually tucked in a corner in the closet.
Yeah, fuck all that.
Yeah, I ain't tripping on that shit.
It's sweet, though.
It's sweet. And I'm pretty sure I can almost guarantee that at some point I will have all of them.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is that, like, towards the last two series, because they actually changed the size up. They made them, like, a little taller. So, like, they changed, like, how they were made or whatever.
Yeah.
So they made them, like, a little taller. And it started with, like, the second to last series, which was Jericho, both Hardys, and Rock. By the way, Rock had, like, four or five Bendhams made of himself.
I remember having the one.
Yeah, you had the Rocky Maivia one, but we never were able to find, like, the other ones. I'm trying. And then the very last series was actually, like, if I can get these, I'm going to get them, like, if I can. It was Rikishi, Too Cool, you know, both Grandmaster Sexy and Scotty Too Hotty, and Taz. Like, that was the very last series. And
damn.
Like that, the last series of any toy line.
So they
line,
had them going for a while.
7 years.
Damn.
Yeah, 2001. They were actually still being sold by like 2002, 2003. I think they were still like on the ship. That was because here's the funny thing about toys.
Yeah.
Is that like as long as like you still have them, like if you still have like boxes of them or whatever, you can still put them on the shelf. Or,
right.
Like, if the company still has them, and it's like, you know what, because a toy company will call and be like, hey, do you need more of, you know, so-and-so? Or a store will call and say, hey, you know, we ran out of this. Can we get more whatever?
Yeah.
And if they have them laying around, oh, yeah, we'll send a bunch. What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Hasbro's were actually still – what's funny is – or what – well, I'll stick to more just toys. Hasbro's will be another discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, but with Just Toys, I remember, you know, 02, 03, still kind of seeing them on the shelves, you know, because KB Toys was still around. And
yeah.
KB Toys was known for selling these things. Because that was like, I think KB Toys was actually like the official home of the Bendhams.
Right.
I'm pretty much. I mean, from what I remember, because I don't remember ever really seeing them at a Walmart, or because Walmart always had, like, the Jacks and shit. Your stuff. But KB Toys and the dollar stores. Because I remember Papa took me into a dollar store one time. I think it was a dollar. It was a Family Dollar.
Family Dollar, yeah. They're a new thing.
Yes. And because I asked him, because when we got the Bendhams for Easter the one year, and I said, oh, you know, where did you get these? He goes, oh, they're at Family Dollar. I said, can we go to Family Dollar, please? And he's just like, yeah, let's go. And there's like a whole shelf of them there. And I was just like, you know, 13-year-old me, I'm getting to the point to where it's almost, you know, I shouldn't really be buying figures anymore.
Yeah. but I see all these figures and I'm so like, oh. Yeah. They were really cool. I mean, I loved all these figures, like, because it's like, and again, like, I know they were kind of cool for you too, because it's the first set of figures you were able to get.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're a Jax guy and would later become a Mattel guy when you had to convert. But, no, the Bendoms were cool just because they really, like, there was a huge resemblance between like their between the figure and like the actual like wrestler.
Yeah.
They did it pretty well. Yeah, I mean they were just sculpted really well, and the only issue is that those things marked up like a son of a bitch, because obviously, you know, they were rubber.
Yeah.
But they were that bendable rubber. But like when you like if you got it on the ground or if you got it dirty, like you could not get those fucking things clean.
No.
Our
Rocky Balboa still looks like it's been wiped by an ass.
Yeah. The one AAA, we actually had like two AAAs, and I actually have one still in the package.
Yeah.
All right. We actually had to go out and buy a new Hunter Hearst Helmsley because the first one, Dad ran over with the lawnmower. He didn't do it on purpose. Well, he says he didn't do it on purpose. And then, like, the neighbor, not even the neighbor's dog. Mindy chewed off the leg for some reason.
Mindy?
It was either Mindy or you. Wasn't me.
Mindy got hungry.
But yeah, so no, the great set of figures. We'll go, hopefully going to find more on the toy hunt next week, I will probably be bringing up on a future. Well, because a lot of the toys that I find, of course, will be part of the toy spotlight.
Exactly. Can't wait.
Yeah. But, all right. What else do we have left here?
A couple more pieces of news, and then we'll finish off with the comic spotlight. Obviously, Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead just came out. I will probably be talking about it a little bit next week if I watch it this week. I have not seen it. A big thing in the nerd culture. No, you're not a big zombie guy, but
right,
the guy that made Dawn of the Dead made another zombie movie. It's big.
Right. And
Zack Snyder's having a moment with the whole Snyder cut and everything.
Here's the thing. Like, I heard him get a lot of shit for, like, they're like, oh, you know, he's not even really that good. He didn't have, you know, the DC movies that had come out, like, they kind of sucked or whatever. But he really, like, with this cut of the Justice League.
Yeah.
That was done really well.
Yeah. I think he proved himself.
Yeah.
And Netflix kind of just let him do his own thing on this Army of the Dead. So people are really saying that when the studio doesn't fucking intervene on his shit, it's really good.
Yeah. And they keep Joss Whedon at home.
Yeah. Also, another big thing, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, we know him very well. We talked about him last night a little bit. He's going to be Black Adam, obviously. We all know that. He's jumping in the DC Universe. But he's also going to be voicing Crypto the Superdog.
Actually was a really good cartoon back in the day.
There's going to be a Super Pets animated movie, and he's going to be voicing Crypto. What do you think about that?
I can't wait. Like, this will be – you're giving us a lot of fun stuff. Obviously, this show is going to be around for years, provided it doesn't get diluted with dumbasses.
Yeah. Yeah, we're killing it. But so that's going to happen. Also, Henry Cavill, our Superman, will be in the new Highlander reboot. Big fan of the first one. Did you ever watch the first Highlander with your boy?
With Edge?
No, Mel Gibson. Highlander.
That was Braveheart.
He was in Highlander too, wasn't he?
No, that was somebody else.
Oh. I'll go fuck myself. But it was
No, I never saw it, though.
Well, Henry Cavill's going to be in.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in The Witcher. He's a big, like, nerd guy. That's, like, his shit. Yeah, I mean, he plays Superman, for God's sake.
Oh, I was just going to say, he should be a nerd guy then. All right, so we still got the comic books. Are we going to talk about music at all?
Yes. What is your song of the week, Dutchie?
I Want to Walk 500 Miles by the Proclaimers. It's a really catchy song, and it's one of those songs that, like, I can sing along to on the radio.
Which, by the way, was actually, like, it's on the Benny and June soundtrack. Benny and June, a movie, you know, from the early 90s. It's basically, it's about a guy, a very overprotective big brother whose sister is mentally disabled and was actually put in a, you know, loony bin for a while. And then she falls in love with this other crazy guy played by Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
This is before Johnny Depp went with the whole pedophile look. It was an all right movie, but again, no, I really like this song.
Great song.
Yeah. We should have played it.
We've jammed it. We can't, so we don't get sued, because I'd like to keep it, like you said, we'd like to keep it for years and years. I don't want to get canceled after the first fucking week. But,
sorry.
Yeah, no, that's why, like, we'll talk about the songs of the week. We can't really play it, though, because, you know, big corporations are pieces of shit, so.
Yeah, we'd have to put the disclaimer on here, but the guy that does our disclaimers is actually working right now.
Yes, he's just got off break. My song of the week would actually be by a young, I don't know if she was young at the time. Great woman. Great musical artiste. Something we jam to every morning.
Oh, my God.
My girl, Tina Turner, What Does Love Got to Do with It? This has had me pumped for work every day. I love you, Tina. She was a trendsetter, a trailblazer. I know I'm going to get made fun of, but fuck you. And
here's the thing. It's something we jam to at work every day. So I'm not going to knock you. I mean, if people at work listen to the show, which they should, because we try not to talk about it. I've mentioned it to a couple people, but nobody with, you know, high authority. That is a really good song. I mean, well, you and I kind of like older music. I mean, you've listened to, like, your newer rap stuff and, you know, Machine Gun Kelly. And I like the Machine Gun Kelly stuff that you play, but I'll always be, like, an 80s, 90s music guy. I mean, some of the stuff from the early 2000s and, like, early, like, 2010s, I can listen to, but 80s music has always kind of been... That's why I have it on a freaking 80s station in the car.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our final finale here, Doug. Our comic spotlight.
All right, let's do it.
Batman and the Three Jokers. That is what I picked, written by Geoff Johns, artisted, but illustrated by Jason Fabok. And a great, great book. There's three chapters. We actually got this at the Uncanny Comic Shop.
Right.
There you go. Montgomeryville, check them out. No sponsors either. I love this story. I haven't gave it to you to read yet. I think you might have looked at a couple panels, though. Like, I showed you a couple panels of the thing.
Yeah, you did. And you were very excited about getting this. You actually, didn't the one time we went there, you tried to get it, but it hadn't been out yet, and so you were not, like, really authorized to take it?
Yeah, they still sold it to me, though, so let's not talk about it too much.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This was another time. Like, you got away with this one.
Yeah, I got caught the next week when I tried to do it again. This basically all starts out.
Basically starts out what?
It basically starts out in the... At the end of the New 52, there's this thing called the Dark Side War.
Yeah.
It's this big war where the Anti-Monitor and Darkseid fight. And there's this thing called Mobius, and it's a time-space dimensional vehicle. It can answer pretty much any of your questions, the chair, when you sit on it. Batman sat on it. Batman asked who killed his parents because he wanted to prove it was, if it was real or not. They said the guy's name was Joe Chill, which it really was, so Batman knew it was real. Then Batman asked, who's the Joker? And it said, there are three Jokers. And he looked very suspicious, and that's how it, like, ended. Now, this is the follow-up to that, like, 5 years later. And you got three Jokers that are all working together and fucking people up. You got the comedian, the clown, and the criminal. And they all like represent like different versions of the Joker. The comedian is more like the 60s, 50s, like, you know, don't take him too seriously, Joker.
Right.
The criminal is more like the Heath Ledger type Joker. And then, you know, the clown is like kind of the animated series Joker, you know. Vicious, but still not too vicious.
Right.
But the thing about this, and there's like two or three big takeaways. This is a big Batman, Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, and Jason Todd story. They're working together throughout. Jason Todd, the second Robin. By the way.
Right.
Red Hood.
Okay.
And one of the Jokers actually, because they all die at the end, but one of the Jokers actually has, he says that he's the Joker that killed Jason Todd because, you know, the Joker's known for killing Jason Todd, even though he comes back as the Red Hood. And he goads him, and Jason actually ends up shooting him in the head.
Jesus Christ.
He also shares a kiss with Batgirl. Their whole dynamic really makes the story. And they kind of fall in love, but they realize that it won't ever work. And then Batgirl becomes Oracle again, which Oracle is the one who got shot by him individually. Like, Batgirl got shot, and she became Oracle because she was paralyzed, you know?
Right. Yeah, and that was in the Killing Joke or whatever.
Yes,
right?
Because this is kind of a spiritual successor to the Killing Joke and Death of the Family. So, I mean, at the end, you know, Batman kind of finds out that they're working to create a bunch of Jokers. So the villain, I mean, it was good. And it's on their black label, so they really say if it's part of the main continuity or not. But it's a dark, chilling story that people should check out.
Definitely. I mean, it definitely sounds interesting. And I'm not necessarily much of a comic book guy.
Yeah.
But, again, I do like Batman. Joker's actually, like, one of the best Batman villains out there.
Yeah. And the art in this is just really good. It's really dark and gritty, and it's Batman done well. But with that being said, I think we're going to head home here, Doug. This is a great first episode of Unscripted Unlimited.
Yeah. Should we talk about what we kind of have planned for next week? Or?
No.
Okay.
I want to keep it on the hush-hush. You can give away one spotlight right now.
I know for next week, because this is the only one I'm actually sure of, that we're going to do the cartoon spotlight next week. You know, I'm going to get judged for saying this, but we're going to talk about Kim Possible next week, the Disney show.
That was a great TV show.
It was. And with that being said, this is Unscripted Unlimited. We got Batman and Superman here flying off.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman.
That's right, baby.
And this was a great – I had a fun time, Doug.
I did, too. This was really fun. Let's do it again.
Yeah, let's do it again sometime.
Okay.
Maybe next week.
Yeah.
And we will see everybody next time. And for our loyal listeners that want to check us out tonight, whenever that drops, please do for our UFC retrospective. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. Yeah.
Been a struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby.
Shake it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking with the bamboo.